You're listening to the New Old Heads podcast, shot live every Tuesday at twitch.tv/newoldheads and released every Thursday at noon via bringingdowntheband.com. The show is brought to you by Coleman Dental, Printfinity, Indie CD and Vinyl. Support the show directly by becoming a member at patreon.com/newoldheads.
You are now tuned in to the New Old Heads podcast. I am Major 7. The crew is in the building. Went off a dope weekend. My man Jay Moore, how are you, sir?
I'm doing well. I think I'm finally fully rested from this weekend's festivities, but I'm doing well.
Took me a while to come around, man. Sunday was nice and relaxed, but I'm back. I'm back now, I think. We'll see. Mm-hmm. My man Longevity, how are you, sir?
I am doing all right.
Someone texting you, distracting you at this moment,
nothing
sir.
Special, but I'm doing all right, and I was just our own notification.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, that counts then.
Yeah.
Are you recovering from this weekend's festivities?
Yeah, I'm recovering.
Okay.
Not recovered. But right. I mean, my body's recovered. I mentioned this to you guys. It always takes me a while to like emotionally recover from being around a lot of people.
There were a lot of people.
And there was a lot of people. It was a great day. Don't get twisted. But
yes.
I am drained.
My man DJ J Diff, what's happening, man?
Salutations.
Everything good, brother?
It's cool. Everything's cool.
Got your powers back, or
Yep. Yep, yeah. Pretty much same sentiments as everybody else.
Okay.
15 hours on my feet, man.
Yeah, you know, when
long time.
When you pop out, when you're a little older.
Yeah.
You start getting to the wee hours of the night.
Yep.
Starts getting closer, and it's like, man, I just want to be home.
Throw in a lot of walking around and a lot of standing.
Yeah.
And all that.
We are definitely the old.
We are
part down. Of old heads right now.
We're the old part for sure.
Listen, I had got a drink that day and took two sips of it. And was like, I'm not going to drink anything else. I didn't even finish that drink.
I didn't have anything but water the entire day.
Yeah, after that's all I was on, water. I had one Red Bull because I walked to the store to get a Gatorade.
Mm-hmm.
And they have any cold Gatorade. So I was like, I guess a sugar-free Monster would do.
You know what? Somebody, one of the Red Bull reps actually gave me a Red Bull and I didn't even drink it.
For real?
Oh, for real?
Yeah, I was like, no, I don't want to be all jittery.
Shout out to you, though. And we talk about the Trees Festival that was here in Indianapolis. Great turnout. Shout out to you and Metronome for having a multitude of water. Lots of water and on ice. Pretty good, man.
Well, I mean, yeah, okay.
We need a sponsor. You was talking about that. We should figure that out.
Sorry, maybe reach out to them. But that trees brought the water out. But
well, whoever needed the flowers,
Nick brought the cooler. I went over and got ice the first time.
Talked to him.
Went the second time, and then the third time they brought us a whole bunch of ice, like seven bags. I was like, what are we gonna do with all these ice?
Yeah, I just looked around. I was like, where did all this ice come from?
Like, where can we put it?
That water came in handy though.
For sure.
Ashley was mad. It's like, see, you got a guy. You're not even using the ice they gave you.
Where are we supposed to put it?
Yeah,
there's not a cooler out here to keep the ice in while we out here.
No, I mean, you know what? There, I was worn out physically.
Yeah.
And it was a bit, mentally, from having to be around that. But you know what? I tell you what, the genuine love the podcast got from people that I didn't know.
Man, same.
I noticed it as well.
People coming up and saying, hey, I really appreciate what you guys do.
Yeah.
Who, like, they just recognize my face or my voice or, just handshakes and let's take a picture. Sometimes you can really just think, okay, what we're doing is just what we're doing.
But right.
Then you realize you get genuine appreciation from people and they want to talk to you about, like, they could recall things that, I forgot that we even talked about.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, for sure.
I noticed that as well. I had one person say, man, I remember when you said, and it was in relation to an Eminem conversation where we were talking about him and his fan base, and it might have been, I don't know, man. It might have been when we were doing Stepdad, like that far back.
Yeah.
But
that's when Spools was still on the show.
Right. But shout out to DJ Spools, but saw him this weekend as well. They knew the stance and everything. And I'm thinking in my mind, I'm thinking, I cannot remember what I said. I don't want to be that person. But they weren't even mad. They weren't mad about that. It's just the fact that they were like, yo,
it stuck with
we watched.
Yeah.
It stuck with us. Like, it stuck with me. I remember when y'all said this, and I just love what you guys are doing. And that was, it was very refreshing.
It was. I was getting some of those conversations, too, of people I wouldn't even have expected to have watched the show.
Right.
And was talking about how good we were doing, and such watches it, too, and blah, blah, blah. And y'all don't really know how many people actually check out the show. Somebody told me that.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, dang, I guess I don't.
Or heard someone say, look, I watch this weekly like I watch a TV show.
Yeah.
That's cool. I mean, hey, tell us more often.
Straight up. Hey, for real. Somebody was like, yeah, I put it on my TV and I'm walking around the house or whatever I got going on.
That's great.
And I watch y'all. So salute to the people that have been supporting. We really do appreciate it. That's what keeps us going. That's what keeps, you know, us enthused about what we do. And it's really appreciated.
It really is, because in a lot of aspects, it's kind of a thankless thing that we do. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, we do it because we want to do it for many reasons, but we don't necessarily do it for thanks, but it's cool when it happens.
Yeah.
And I actually had to extend on that. I was talking to Slot A, shouts to Slot. He was in performing, and a dude came from around the corner and he was like, hey, do one of you guys run Bringing Down the Band? And I was like, yeah, I do. And he was like, man, I just want to thank you. I was like, all right. I didn't know who he was. He's like, man, you put me on a playlist like 6 years ago.
There we go.
And, you know, like it really kind of helped me get from here to here. And now I'm here, like, you know, like open playing at the Hoosier Dome and blah, blah, blah. I was like,
yeah,
that's what's up. He's like, man, I can't thank you guys enough. And I was like, that is like the first compliment that I've gotten from Bringing Down the Band in like a decade.
Right.
Like,
wow. Right.
You know what I mean?
Like, it's genuine. You know, that was
like,
genuine too.
And it's like, it's kind of crazy. Like, it really is kind of a thankless thing that we do sometimes. Mm-hmm. And it's, I don't know, it's wild, but that meant a lot. So shouts to that dude. That's Larry, I think is his name. But
when you say thankless, it's easy for us to get into a rhythm of thinking we're not being appreciated just because we upload, right. We go on to the next one next week and we do that.
I think what I really mean by it, there are definitely people that show support on a regular basis. It's that I just mean from an angle of the amount of support.
Yes.
Or let me phrase that. Not even the amount of support, the amount of work that goes into it versus kind of like what we see sometimes.
Oh, I got you.
You know what I mean? Because like, there's so much work that goes into both of those things and have in the past. And if you're going to line them up proportionality, like Bringing Down the Band had 12,000 posts on the website.
Yeah.
At one, you know, like, and there's nowhere, and I'm not like
three to six here, a day.
Yeah, yeah. And sometimes more. Mm-hmm. And it's not like demanding that, you know, or anything. It's just like, it's cool. It's really cool when it happens. And it actually does mean a lot.
Yeah.
You know, like it really, like that meant a lot.
You know, I had only talked to you, Lone, about people coming up to me about that. I hadn't spoken to Jay Moore or Terry about this, so the fact that you all both had it as well further lets me know that, you know, there was, you know, something in the air. Are we doing something right? Because all four of us at some point ran into multiple people who said, you know, that they're rocking with us. That's a good sign, and it's very well received.
I think it's I was pondering on this a couple of days ago, you know, the idea of like for the culture, you know what I mean? And I would consider like what we do kind of a for the culture type of podcast.
Right.
And if you think about it, like we're a pretty big podcast in the sense of like maybe like Indiana's concerned.
Right. Yeah.
And especially when it comes to hip hop, and it was the biggest hip hop festival, but we weren't really represented from a new old head standpoint at this biggest hip hop festival.
Right.
But we were all a part of it in a different ways. You know what I mean? That had nothing to do with the new old heads.
Yep.
We weren't there like pushing new old heads. We were just there being a part of the culture of Indianapolis and Indiana hip hop, you know? And I think that's kind of cool. Kind of speaks to us a little bit.
I actually thought the same thing. I was like, we weren't there as a team as far as the show is concerned.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But we all participated and were asked to participate in some kind of facet throughout the day. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah, I think so too.
Shout out also to I saw some great photos that were floating around from, you know, the Plaza stage and performances, and there's a great photo of us, all four of us together. Speaking of
Jesse
Tobar, photographer. He got a great shot of us, all four of us together. I saw that, came out very well. So salute to Jesse for that. A lot of good stuff I've been tagged in so far, and you know, seeing more stuff pop up. I'm not sure once the rest of the official Trees photos get uploaded, we may be tagged in some more stuff. But
I'm waiting to post anything else until like all the media kind of comes in.
Yeah, because there's a lot of stuff that's still left to be obviously edited and uploaded.
But definitely a big shouts to, you know, I mean, if you guys want to say more, but, you know, big shouts to Sean Oreo, you know, Oreo Jones, and big shouts to Jay Brookins and Jane.
That whole staff, all the volunteers.
Volunteers, staff, music, media, film. Shouts to the AV dudes that were out there with the bubbles all day. That was kind of cool. Mm-hmm. You know, like it was a very, you know, big moving process of a lot of things. And I think this was by and far the best cohesive, like everything seemed like it was
agreed,
handled, even with there were a couple hiccups that happened throughout the day, a couple, you know, some weird stuff happened, but in general, everything was handled good. I think everything that I saw was just, again, another really good event.
Mm-hmm. And actually, you know, sometimes we get features or headliners that'll come in. I've always looked at headliners as a 50-50 thing. You don't know what type of day someone's having or what, you know, may go on, but salute the Ninth Wonder. He was very gracious after his performance.
Took pictures.
Stood around, vinyl. Had conversations, yeah, signed wax.
Stick around for that.
Yeah, he was, his DJ set was very live. Everybody came, he asked everyone to come up closer to where he was.
And, yeah, I was still there at that time.
Okay, yeah. But nah, shout out to Knife, man. He was very gracious with his time afterwards and had a great set. You know, it was cool. Ruben Vincent was in the building as well.
He killed it.
Young fella was taking care of business out there. Mm. You know, he's a beast. His project is dope as well. So y'all check him out. But
more importantly, let's get to it. Let's talk about the section leader set.
Oh,
okay.
Oh,
and,
man.
You know, I know you guys were in the moment and, you know, making sure you were taking care of business. But, you know, I saw Ninth nodding his head.
I heard that from multiple people.
I didn't see it at all, but
so I saw it. It was apparent that you know the vibe that you guys had going that he was feeling it. So yeah.
I appreciate that.
I mean, and the thing is, it was dope because I had heard the bits and pieces.
Yeah.
That you guys, you know, as you know, pre-show we just kind of building, and then to see it all come together and to hear the finished product, I was like, okay. You know, because, you know, the thing is a lot of times with crowds and sometimes they when they're unfamiliar with something musically.
Yeah.
You know, it's hard for them to get into it.
Kind of lose them.
But yeah. I felt, you know, especially with the songs, it was like, oh, OK, they did that to this. You know, they took Ice Spice in another direction. You know what I'm saying? And I just think that was dope. And, you know, I think it was a set that was perfect. That set went right before Ninth Wonder.
Well, appreciate that.
Yeah, man. Appreciate it, brother.
I just felt pretty good about it, you know. And I mean, I felt really good, but I didn't see any. So I screwed up. I was recording every single act on the plaza with a GoPro like 15 minutes. I forgot to turn it on for ours.
That's how it goes.
Yeah, that's how it goes.
It's like,
You know what? I was looking at pictures, just a handful that we've had a chance to see so far. And I'm looking at, shout out to the homie Grits, third member of Section Leaders. It's a picture of all three of us. I'm like, man, I've known and worked with music with these guys for over... Man, 20, is it 20 something?
25 years.
Yeah, like that was really dope to see because, you know, we all know in the industry, people come and go. That's just in life. Forget the industry, like just in life, people come and go. So when you have good relationships and good friends, you want to hold on to them and nurture those. So it was really cool to be able to rock with my brother.
Yeah, I hadn't seen Grits since before the pandemic, so it's cool.
Oh,
yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
He like Waldo. You got to catch him.
Yeah.
You know what? Now that I think of it, I don't think I had either.
But I hadn't seen really. I mean, that's why Treese is so cool.
Yeah, though. A lot of people.
No, I hadn't seen Man. Now that I think about it, I hadn't seen Man Dog.
I hadn't seen like any of these people.
Yeah, I hadn't seen.
It's been a while since I've seen Kinetic. Got a chance to chop it up with him.
Yeah. I was super happy to see that Kinetic and Ninth got a time to kick it and talk to each other.
So, yeah,
you know, because they're both professors and you know, like they have that knowledge and everything. So, I mean, Ninth definitely like when I finished and I kind of looked over, like he gave me like a nod, you know.
Yeah.
But like outside of like, it's cool that people have kind of went out of their way to tell us that, you know, that Ninth was digging it. You know,
he shouted out the Section Leaders too.
He
made sure everybody gave us flowers. Yeah. I did not expect that. No, I did not see that coming.
No. Real recognize real, man.
That's what they say, man. That's what they say. So
I know it sounds cliche, but I mean, it's the absolute truth when it comes down to it.
Nah, man.
You recognize talent and you recognize somebody that you consider as a peer. You know what I'm saying? So yeah, shout out to Ninth.
Yeah, man.
And he played Loving It.
And yeah, he did. I was way far away. I'm like, there it go, right there.
I did get that on tape.
I recorded the whole mug.
He played the joint with Drake,
versions
too.
Of it too.
Yeah, he played the joint with Drake, too. And
he paused. He was like, this is Drake for y'all that don't know.
Yeah.
Yep. I was literally unloading my truck or my car, the trunk of my car, to go into, and I heard it. And I'm like, dang, man.
Hey, and when it dropped, like though, because he let the sample breathe.
Yeah.
So everybody knew what was going on. I looked at one of my best friends was there, and I looked back. He, you know, they got that look like, ooh, you know what I mean? Yeah. And
I recorded it halfway through the recording. The phone is doing this because I was rapping the whole.
I couldn't help it. I did the same thing. I couldn't help it because that's a jam. That's everybody knows that. So
yeah, man.
It was good to see the plaza jumping around like it, you know, we were talking about shout out to Tall Black Guy. He had it the same way.
Oh,
pre-COVID.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So it's good to have that location, what I always call our location. I just call it that.
Like Trees Hub.
It's the hub.
If you don't do anything at Trees, you come hang out at the square. You know what I'm saying?
You got to pull up.
Yeah.
You have to pull up.
I told people, I was like, hey, you know, they're like, man, you know, I'd come to Trees, but I didn't get any tickets or anything, or, you know, I got my kids with me. I was like, there's come a spot, spot you can come to hang out.
Yep.
You know, we got something for you.
Mm-hmm. It's stuff for the kids. You got Jay Moore being the old man saying, y'all get off the waterfall.
Their kids was loving that waterfall.
They were loving it too.
I got someone put that in my ears, like, hey, it's a liability issue. So.
Yeah, the babies was loving it though. They were loving
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I know. I just didn't want none of the babies to slip on that wet rock.
Yeah. Jay Moore said it so proper. It was so proper how you told everybody just to, you know.
Yeah, chill on that concrete.
Y'all chilling that concrete, man.
It was a good time, man. The only bittersweet thing for me personally every year is the fact that I never really get to see anybody. Like, I saw Dasta Flacco. I saw Flacco perform My Hat Don't Match My Fit. That's like, as I was buying a shirt, like I had to run over to buy it. I wanted to buy a shirt, and as I was walking away, My Hat Don't Match My Fit, so shouts to Flacco. But
I
saw like 2 seconds of, I think, the kid Sky when I went to the bathroom at the Square Cat final. Like, that's all I saw outside of the plaza.
I got to see TGI Free.
I heard he killed it.
Yeah, he took really care good. Of, I think Terry was there. He took care of business.
He did.
Yeah. He took care of business. And it was almost to the back in Square Cat. And he took care of business. He was one of the contest winners.
Yep.
That was a part of when I judged. So he took care of business and earned his slot. I didn't get to see Jetty's.
I seen Jetty.
I didn't get to see him. Fox.
Of course,
Fox.
I'm biased when it comes to Fox.
He really.
I let other people speak for Fox.
Yeah, you know I can't really. I don't want to. I'm with him on that one.
I wish. That's Fox was the one act I wanted to see, but you know, didn't work out. But it's all good.
He did what Fox does.
Yeah, Maxie did his thing. Woogie did his thing.
Mm. Yeah.
I was mad. I didn't get to check out Distinct.
I didn't catch him. And I didn't get the Baby Ebony. I think those guys are extremely talented.
I saw a video of Frescos. He looked like he killed his set too.
Yeah, he got that energy.
Yeah, he does, definitely.
Skip, he did a nice job. We was backstage while he was performing.
Skip usually take care of business. Yeah.
Stokes did his thing.
Shout out to Stokes. I like Jeremiah Stokes.
Yeah. Shout out to Jake Huber.
Shout out to Jake.
And B Swift. I got to sit in for the G Note with them.
Yes.
Talk about the industry along with Oreo Jones. That was real cool. They recorded that, so I know they're going to put that out as well. There were actually two sections of the panel. It was, you know, me and the people I just mentioned. Then they had a, you know, ladies panel with DJ Little Town, Paris LaDom.
I didn't get a chance to see her perform. I wanted to see her perform. So
DJ Space Buns. And there was another young lady. She's like a model and curator. Mm-hmm. I stuck around for that because, you know, I didn't want to be that dude that walks out on the ladies. And plus, like, you know, I got to talk to Paris a little bit about music. And, you know, plus, like, she had a, you know. You know, so she was actually very cool. You know, I'd met her a couple times before, but it was when I was working. So, like, all the noise, you don't really get to kind of talk to people. So this was an opportunity for me to kind of talk to different artists, her included. So, you know, shout out to her. Shout out to, you know what I'm saying? Shout out to first of all, it was just like, this is a thing where, like, all the years we've done this, you know, of course, this is going back before the pandemic and whatnot. Mm-hmm. You know, there's never been any real negativity to happen at Trees. You know, a hip hop festival, you have all these venues, all these artists and all these people who are coming to check out the culture. Yeah. And it's all been peace and love. There's never been anybody tripping on anything. Nah, so
I agree.
There was a situation this year, but it got handled.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I don't think I was there, but.
No, I mean, I heard about it. I am upset I missed the wrestling matches. Did y'all?
I heard about those, but I didn't know what they were talking about.
I was like, what the? Yeah, and it looked like
now y'all lost me. I have no idea what y'all talking about.
Several people were like posted videos of like.
It was down there by Hot Boys.
Yeah. Right? Yeah.
There's an actual wrestling match for real.
Yeah, there's like when I say wrestling, I mean like they had a ring.
Mm-hmm. What?
It was like you could.
They
tell.
Were dressed up as wrestlers.
Oh yeah,
they were wrestlers.
Yeah, it was
wrestling, man.
They was wrestling.
It was wrestling.
Yeah, that was part of the festival. You could have came out and saw some wrestling.
What in the stepdad? What's going on, man? That's crazy.
Going down. I actually seen, for those that know your Indianapolis, Indiana NapTown history. I seen one of the members of NAP.
Ah.
At Trees. Yes.
Oh, yeah. I pass I don't know if it's a member of somebody of NAP, but every time I ride to the school, I pass. There's this card in the front. It says RIP Kilo G.
Yeah, mm-hmm. he was in NAP.
Oh, that person was?
Yeah, Kilo G was. I think he passed.
Oh, I know Kilo G was, but yeah. Oh. But somebody had like it on the front of their license plate, and I was like, I wonder if this is like somebody that's
I see what you're talking about.
A part of NAP. I don't know. I've never seen him.
Maybe a family member or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, man.
I didn't realize, obviously not being from here, but I heard of them. I didn't realize the wave was like that. But they had a big record. They had a wave. The more I talk to people that are from here.
I saw Edge. I ain't seen Edge in a minute. Shout out to DJ Edge.
Yeah, I hadn't seen him probably since the, now you, I
know it's like
I didn't realize, oh, I haven't seen these people, many of them, since like 2020 or the end of 2019.
Yep. Yeah. I didn't put that together either, honestly.
The pandemic took a lot away.
You know what though, when you're connected to people on Facebook, you're not seeing them in person,
right?
But you see them come through your timeline, so it almost gives the illusion that it hasn't been that long,
right?
It's like we've still been in contact.
Put it in perspective. It's like, dang, I really haven't seen this person.
And like that makes it like, you know, almost 4 years.
Yeah, it's crazy.
It's a long time.
Yeah,
you know, but I'm glad that the organizers, Oreo and Brookins and everybody involved, said, you know what, let's not try to rush it back. Let's take the time and the extra year.
Yeah,
to get this right.
Mm-hmm. I was in the check-in spot, the check-in location for artists to come in, or VIP, whatever you want to call it, in between some performances or something. And a lot of the younger artists that were coming in to check in and people that were out of town were talking about how cool it was from what they had seen thus far in terms of, you know, the locations, the venues, the reception, the setup, you know, everything that they had seen. They were like, man, I didn't even realize that this was going on, and this is so cool, and we want to come back next year. And like, they was really speaking high of, you know, Treece when I had stopped by, and that was good to see too.
I wish we could have somehow compounded together and done, because they had like the photo shoots in the back that Jake was shooting.
Yeah.
I wish we could have done that, but
that'd have been dope. Mm.
But yeah, I mean, it was just
big props.
You know, the weather held up for us. It looked like those clouds were going to do something.
Man.
Honestly, it just cooled the day off, because that first part of the day.
Bad.
Man, it was hot.
Yeah, bad.
You know.
I went and got gas purposely because I said, look, I know I'm going to have to go to my car, cut that AC on, sit in there for about 10 minutes, regroup, and go right back out to the stage. So it was smoking around 2:30 in the afternoon when I first got there. And I know Lone had already been there. You had been there.
Mm-hmm. No, because so, I went. I was
there at 9:30.
Yeah. Yeah. That's early with me, because I got there at around noonish, so we could do the G note. And but the thing is, it was outside.
Yeah.
And they had a little bit of cover for us, but the way the sun was hitting, it didn't do nothing.
Yeah. And I just gotta give, you know, he's the homie. Everybody here just good friends with him. But I gotta give extra shouts to DJ Metronome and Nick.
Definitely. Yes,
just for like all the stuff that he does, not only in the city and stuff, because he was running around all over the place. Now he's doing stuff with Butter for this entire week. But like he was there, he was setting up sound at 6:15 in the morning for the bike race. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And then he was there, and it was a long day to do all the things,
put everything,
you know,
in U-Haul.
It's a lot of work that goes in on the back end, and Nick Metronome's a part of a lot of this.
He's actually a machine, man. He is a machine, man. He's a machine.
I feel like I do a lot of work,
yeah,
but Nick does more than me, and it kind of baffles me sometimes.
We know what you do. We're around you a lot. So for you to even say that, what he does is so vital to a lot of these events.
He is.
It's priceless to these events.
Absolutely.
Oh, no, he sets his price. You best believe it.
Oh, yeah. Oh, come on now. Oh, excuse me. I ain't trying. Let me rephrase
My brother sets his price.
Metronome is not free, y'all. Don't get it twisted.
We started turning down events. So. Yeah.
No, and
he ain't free now.
And the thing is, it's like, you know, we all talked about how wiped out we were the next day. Metronome was right back up doing a brunch.
He was doing a brunch
machine,
at like 10:30 in the morning.
10:30 in the morning. Like, if you'd asked me to do something, I'm sorry, I'd have been, no, can't do it.
Nah, yeah. I can't do it.
You know.
So, yeah.
Energizer Bunny, man.
I'd have to be at work till 9 p.m. that next night, and I was still like, ugh, I barely made it.
Yeah,
I didn't want to adult the next day.
Oh, that's right. And then, but do you know what I tell you, what did save me? Because like the last trees behind like all the tables and all the coolers, it was all beer.
Oh,
yeah.
It's all water this year.
This year was all water. And you know what? I'm happy about that.
I am too. I told him the same thing.
I'm so happy. I didn't drink nothing that day other than them two sips, but them two sips got zeroed out real quick.
Yeah, I mean, it was just like I had a beer at Square Cat when I went to go check out, you know, what was popping in there because Kinetic was running those stages.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And then like, but I was sweating so much that beer didn't do nothing.
Nah, nothing.
Hey, I had one from the check-in spot and I think one at, like you said, maybe a location. Everything else was water all day.
I just thought it would have been a bad idea. I was like, I'm going to be out here and if I start drinking, I'm going to want to continue to drink.
You're going
to
be split.
So by the time that I actually have to do what I need to do here, I'm going to be worthless.
His slot was 10:45.
Man, 10:45.
Oh, yeah.
So I didn't even start the performance until 11.
So you would have been cooked.
Man, I'd have been done.
Well, that and I still had to drive to Broad Ripple, so I'm not trying to get caught up. I still can't get caught up partying when you're trying to get this money.
Yeah, that's part of being a grown up, being an adult. Yeah,
everybody, I'm proud of us. We all adulted this weekend.
Sure did.
You know what I'm saying?
Because part of me was like, let me bring a little something. And I was like, but no.
We hey, low key.
Tonight I got me a
little something.
Cheers.
Yeah, I got a little
sippy sip, you know.
I got me a little water still.
I ain't gonna hold you.
I got more water than anything.
I ain't gonna hold you, Jay Moore. Part of me now, I'm glad you adulted, as we're saying, but part of me tends to be like, okay, let me check and see if Jay Moore gonna have his bag with him.
I mean,
now that's wrong. Now that's wrong. As a friend, that's wrong.
You know, now I had my bag. I was like, I'm gonna take some of these waters. These joints are like $2.19 at the gas station. Let me just go ahead and get a couple.
I'm stupid because I swore was
they're not a partner,
had alcohol. So in
yeah, make sure you
we,
beat
we,
that
we,
out.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, we don't. Yeah.
Sorry about that.
It does look like a beer, though.
Bro, hey, I felt so stupid when I realized this was water, but I kept drinking them. They was on point.
No, because I offered one to somebody. He's like, yo, I don't really mess with alcohol. I was like, this is just.
Here, man, you need this, man.
This is just water.
95 degrees. I should take this.
I thought I was just offering people tall boys who I know don't drink.
Agua frio.
That is actually genius to market that like
it is, man.
It really is.
In good times, man.
Indeed, indeed.
I look forward to hopefully the next one, and as old folks say, Lord willing.
Somebody came up and they're like, "Man, I'm not even from here." He's like, "I'm playing a show. I'm doing like sound rig for some prog band." And he's like, "Y'all need to do this like every 6 months." I was like, "Nah, once a year is perfect."
Yeah, man. So salute to the staff. Salute to the city for showing up and showing out. Salute to everybody that came out and had a good time and took pictures and did videos and. Talk to us and talk to the artists, all that good stuff.
It was all love.
Yeah, it was all love, man. You missed a good time if you didn't show up. So maybe we'll see y'all next year. All right, man. Alon, I didn't even realize it, but I guess we can shout out our partners at this point. Is that cool or shall we continue?
Yeah, we can do that. Thanks to our partners. Dr. Coleman of Coleman Dental is our go-to dentist. He's a longtime Indianapolis arts and music supporter located right in Broad Ripple. Printfinity is a screen printing shop based in Indianapolis, owned and operated by our own DJ J Diff. Our good friends at Indie CD and Vinyl operate one of the best record stores in North America. Shop new and used in their site or visit them in person. And the best way to support the new old heads is to visit our Patreon and become a member for as little as $3 a month. All details on newoldheads.com.
What I noticed about Treece is there's a lot of talent in this city.
Mm-hmm.
So I pose a question. Small city bias. When we talk about small city bias, everybody says you have to go to the big city to hear talent or the big talent. The talent is usually associated with a bigger city. Is a small city bias, is that programmed or is that just people not paying attention to their local surroundings? Because
can you elaborate on the question a little bit?
So what I'm saying is I noticed that there are we know a lot of the talented people here in the city. But I feel like from time to time, I always hear there's no talent here. You have to go to Chicago. You have to go to L.A. You have to go to New York. You have to go to these locations to find talent. And I'm like, no, talent is here. But I don't know if people are truly paying attention or actually trying to pay attention to the local talent and actually support them. Because I saw plenty of people on Saturday that are extremely talented. And it's right here in Indianapolis. And I don't know if that's. Just like I said, a lack of people paying attention, or is it just people buying into the stereotype that you have to go to the big city to find talent? Do you see what I'm saying?
I see what you're saying, but in the same token,
because I think that's a thing.
I don't know. In the same token, it's like people people know that talent is all over this country. Mm-hmm. Okay. You know what I'm saying? You have to know that.
Okay.
Because a lot of people that have migrated to these other cities aren't from these cities where they make it at. But in the same breath, you going to that city does not guarantee you a spot in the industry. And I think a lot of it has to do with record execs and people that are so-called gatekeepers or have their eyes or ears to the street only focus on those main areas. So it's going to be Chicago, Atlanta, California, and New York until one person from some area pops off and then they flood the gates. They want to go there and try to find everybody. You experienced that being in St. Louis.
Exactly.
As soon as Nelly got on, then they wanted everybody from St. Louis.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Here, there's people. There are a lot of people here that are actually in the music industry that are more so behind the scenes. I think the only thing that hasn't happened here is somebody from hip hop hasn't made it. Mm. There's been a lot of people, R&B
producers, songwriters,
execs even that are from here. Snoop Dogg's latest signee, the October London.
Mm-hmm.
He's from Indiana. Mm-hmm. Sounds just like Marvin Gaye.
Mm.
He's from Indiana. The only part that's not tapped into is the hip hop side of things here as far as being an artist. But other than that, I think it's we're in a different day and age where, like we've talked about before, your internet presence and your followers and things like that make a difference too. You talked about speaking to Paris LaDame. Issa Rae shouted her out a few years back and kind of helped create her wave a little bit.
Right.
Now, she didn't pop off super big or anything like that. But just like
her song is in an episode of Insecure.
Exactly. Right? So those little things like that, being able to connect to somebody online is kind of more important nowadays than actually being physically there, in my personal opinion.
What do you think, Jay?
I talked to a couple artists, and one of them said something that's kind of crazy to me. He said, you know, do you think I got to go out of town to blow up there and then maybe, you know, Indianapolis will get behind me? And I said, you know what? It wouldn't be the first time that happened.
Ah, there we go.
Sometimes it's almost like with, you know, if you've got a child and, you know, there's a toy they haven't played with or they've ignored for however long. If they see somebody else pick up that toy, they're going to want to play with that toy.
Right.
You know, and it sometimes it does come down to where with the small time mindset, which and the thing is, honestly, there are towns that are a lot smaller than Indianapolis that have figured out how to get their artists out there. Mm-hmm. Like shout out to Memphis. You know what I'm saying?
True.
You know, Nate Jeezy just brought that up in the chat. And, you know, you talk about how they get around us. But, you know, they've had that look for well over two or three decades now.
Right. Right.
To where they've been recognized on a national level.
And they have somebody that, quote unquote, went from Memphis.
Yeah.
You got to have that. Terry's talking about that one. They've had a couple of those,
you know,
early on.
Because even with, you know, the whole, you know, the way the Lunatics blew up, you know, they had connections out of town, you know, in Atlanta and New York with Kool & Love.
That DJ was DJ World, which is from here.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we talk about that, you know, sometimes you got to have that person in the other city to, you know, and make it a regional thing.
Right.
I just think that, you know, with Indy, there is so much talent. And I just think for a while, you know, and I don't want to put this on and I don't want anybody to feel some kind of way about this. Like they're waiting for somebody to come get them.
That's the part I'm speaking to when I say negligence is that
now I think Indianapolis has a more independent mindset. It was like, look, we're from Indiana. We're not just going to do a version of what they do in Atlanta, a version of what they do in New York or a version of what they do in L.A. We're going to do Indianapolis. I mean, like that's what's so incredible about having a hip hop festival here in Indianapolis which is by and large supported and run by Indianapolis artists.
True.
Yes.
So I, you know, and plus with the new record, you know, economy, you know, don't, you're not going to, you know, B Swift was on the panel with me. Shout out to him. Gave me some game. You know, we were just talking about radio and how things move and how radio hasn't broken a record in 10 to 15 years.
Yeah.
You know, if you think that like getting your song played on the radio is going to change your life in 2023. No.
Nah, sadly, just mistaken.
You know, one point, like, because, you know, like there's always that part in the in the biopic movie about the group or whatever where
they
hear their song on the radio and their life changes. No, doesn't happen like that
anymore.
Anymore.
I literally just seen somebody make a post about that today on Facebook. about the, and this happens every few years, the radio station needs to support local artists.
I saw that post.
It just, it doesn't work like that.
And it's like, it's matter.
A recycled, it doesn't matter.
It's a recycled conversation that keeps getting brought up, and it doesn't matter. You bring up B-Swift. B-Swift actually had a time slot where he would play local artists on certain days.
Yep.
But it doesn't matter if he's playing it on the radio or not. If you're not reaching more than just those people in that 1 hour,
right,
that the stuff is being played.
You know, and even before that, you know, Rec One would used to play.
Yep, he sure did.
He used to play a local record.
On Fridays.
He used to play one every night before the 9 o'clock Mickey Ficky.
You're right.
And you know what?
That's dope.
But the people wouldn't have, it, you know, would it be registered with BDS? Did they have something else for people to connect with that song?
No clean versions.
The fact that you guys saw that post
today
in 2023, that's a extremely outdated thought process.
It is.
Based off what we know in terms of how things move around now, right? Like that's beyond outdated. It's not about trying to down radio. It's just the truth. Like the social media and everything has expanded everything, the reach. Like you can reach so many more people now by, you know, using multiple, you know, avenues to get to these people. TikTok, Instagram, Facebook. Like
that's what we do.
You know, that's exactly.
I guarantee you those people. There are people who came up and maybe spoke to one of us. They probably have never listened to the show through one of the, traditional podcasting.
Right.
You know, apparatus, right. You know, but they may have seen us on YouTube.
Yeah.
Or TikTok yeah. or
Instagram.
And it could have been, like you said, it might not have been the full, you know, alone would know the numbers better than I would, but it could have just been a short that came up in the algorithm or something. It's like, oh, who are these guys? And they went through the rabbit hole and went back and done the research. Mm-hmm. It happens like that. I do that with people that I'm not aware of that might pop up in an algorithm. It happens like that. It can be that fast, you know?
Yeah.
But jump in, Lon.
This conversation can get pretty deep. I think what I would say is that if you're in a place mm-hmm. like we are, where there is no historical precedence for here, for what we're kind of like aspiring or wanting to have happen,
mm-hmm.
the only thing that can happen is people have to build it. The infrastructure has to be built. Mm-hmm. And when you think about Treece, how you know, since that's kind of what we're talking about today, how that got built. That got built because there were a whole bunch of people that were that did music
mm-hmm.
and were a part of the local music scene, got together and decided that we needed something like this. You know, Terry and I, we alluded to this last week when we were in the process of working towards trying to throw a festival for bringing down the band here. And then that's around the same time that Sean Oreo hit me up and saying, hey, we're going to be doing this thing. And then that was kind of like, well, let's just get on board with this, because rather than try to have two separate things, if we can all come together.
Voltron, let's form like Voltron.
We can maybe make something. And look what's happened, you know, six Treeces later. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And I think the work that is involved in building some of these things sometimes is, you know, it just doesn't happen overnight. Back to your statement of should people have to leave? I think where it's at right now, I don't think people have to leave, but they have to. But, you know, it has happened that way. You have to understand kind of like what the market is. And, you know, if you want something different, you have to build it, man.
Yeah.
And we're everybody sitting at this table is a part of something that, you know, we have built something significant within this city that didn't exist before.
Yeah.
True.
And too. Didn't mean to cut you off.
No, you're good.
We're done.
No, you're good.
A lot of people go to these cities and run back here
mm-hmm.
because they weren't welcome. Like, as soon as you got here, you got put on. It just doesn't work like that. So more often than not, you're going to end up back here, and people are going to start to. I'm surprised people haven't already start paying attention more to what we have going on here as far as the music culture, because they should start picking up and coming here and kind of pulling people up the rank, so to speak, and put them on pretty much in position to win.
But to your guys' point, we don't really have we don't have that top tier artist. We don't have that one person that's blown. And whoever that person is that does do that, if that person does not do that,
yeah.
then it's going to be a cycle. you know, because we're not in a place where, you know, like I said, it's it's different than it was 20 years ago, you know? Yeah. And so I think, but there still is a very, very much of a grassroots thing things that can happen and can help build the culture up so that when certain artists are ready to propel to that stage, mm-hmm. that there are things in place here that can help push them even further, you know? And that, talking about bringing down the band, that was really the inception. That was the whole idea around bringing down the band.
Right.
It was like, you know, I was an artist. I had no business starting a music blog. You know what I mean? Like, and I never wanted to be a blogger, but I saw you know, an opportunity to create something to help people like me, hopefully the next generation of me's to, you know, to be able to grab those people and put them in better situations as long as they are taking care of their business.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, and help, you know, push them up. But it takes an army, man. It takes an army, and it's not just, you know, this whole idea of I can just go somewhere else or I can just do a little bit of work and it can just turn into something. You're thinking wrong. Like, and I hope that you look at it from a different angle. You know, sure, things can pop off, and no, we don't want people to, you know, want success for everybody. You know, but at the same time, like, you have to put the work in, and you have to just accept the fact that there's a lot of work. And for Indianapolis to become a bigger thing, it's going to take more people that are willing to do the work for other people as well.
Mm-hmm. I think it's weird that there's been artists in the past from here that have actually gotten record deals and national exposure, but it never really did anything outside of having maybe one song make it to like a MTV or something like that. Like even Maxi, his first song that he was featured on, I Put It on the Hood, was on MTV with him and
G Fresh.
That was on MTV. 625 had a record deal at one point in time.
Trilogy, right?
Trilogy, 625. Oh,
okay,
They had a record deal at one point in time. They would pop up on my Pandora when I would be listening to it from time to time. A few other, Mud Kids had some national exposure too at some point, but it's like we get our foot in the door and then it's like, I don't know what happens after that.
I feel like when you're coming from a smaller demographic, the amount of momentum that you have to have is just, you have to have momentum and you have to keep it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And if you lose that momentum, sometimes it's hard to keep it.
Let me ask you this, Lone. We're talking about the concept of an artist, you know, one person being a springboard or being the Nelly, you know, example, right?
I mean, because look, I'll be honest. I was like, man, I just hope he sells 500,000 records. Yeah. That'd be a good look for the city.
Mm-hmm. Well, let me ask you guys this, though.
He exceeded that.
10 million records later.
Definitely exceeded it. Well, I'm asking you, you talked about it. Basically, the concept is it takes a village, right? That's the concept that we're talking about for this to work. So
If we want to succeed as a small market,
sure,
like a small independent market, like in that aspect.
My question is, what is the level of responsibility that comes with the person that quote unquote blows as it relates to them pouring back into the culture after they have, you know, sell X amount of records? Is there something on them to be able to come back and say, hey, I want to shine light on the city that I come from? Or is it like, I've done it, y'all, let's ride the wave and you guys build it from there? Because sometimes people will say that person will blow, but they won't come back, or they won't try to
That's what I'm asking. Because they had to get themselves in position.
True.
Look, I mean, Nelly never sign anybody else from St. Louis.
Nah, they sure did.
That's tough.
It was St. Lunatics.
I hate to put it out there, but like we find out later on, Nelly barely helped out the St. Lunatics, and that was his
goal. Believe Ali, don't you? I see it in your eyes. You believe.
I believe it.
Look at it.
But, you know, because like everybody else, Chingy was not a part of that crew.
Nah.
Jaquan was not part of that crew. There's no extended crew. Like, but the whole thing was when Nelly got on that record, Country Grammar, and said, I'm from the Lou and I'm proud. And every time you saw him, he had on St. Louis Cardinals, St. Louis Rams.
True.
You know, not so much anymore. But I'm just saying, like, there was no getting past the fact that he was from St. Louis. Like, he didn't wear any other teams,
That's
any
true.
Other colors.
True.
Cardinals. That first run of everything was red and white or blue and gold.
Even the cars.
Yeah, true. Everything, you know, so there wasn't like, you didn't just throw on anything because it would be fly. No, it was St. Louis all day, every day. And that's why every Def Jam, Columbia, Sony, everybody and their mama came. There are so many people who got signed from St. Louis that y'all never even heard of.
I believe you.
Because it was like, they was just coming. If we could just catch a little bit of this Nelly Lightning, you know.
Now we got Sexy Red.
If we could.
what a time to be alive.
And you know what? Now it's going to be a whole bunch more people. It's like, oh, what else they got over there in 317?
Yeah. Well, that's not 317.
Don't get it.
I'm sorry, 314. Hey, 314.
Come on now.
314.
Yeah. Come on now.
Yeah, no.
You're going to strip all the.
I do not claim her.
You're going to strip all the flowers away from what we've just been talking about. Don't do that.
I'm just saying, though.
What were you going to say, Lone? I think you were about to interject.
I was going to say, you know, look at it in the same sense of like how Mike Epps treats it. Yeah. Indianapolis.
I love Mike Epps for that.
He put Nap or Nothing on his TV show.
On his TV show.
That's huge.
Man, that is somebody, and I don't know about people from other cities or other states. But that dude champions this city.
Mm-hmm. He does.
And he speaks it with his chest out.
He does.
Anywhere he's at.
And that's I think that's essentially kind of what we need from somebody that's in that role. It's like somebody like him.
Like, that, you there's know. Nobody who's going to be like, I wonder where Mike Epps is from.
Never.
Yeah. They know he repped the Colts, the Pacers.
I think he was like the ambassador for the Colts at one point.
Yes. And he rocks with the Colts and the Pacers, and it's all of you seen.
It's all through the TV show.
The TV show.
There's IU stuff in there. There's. I'm sorry, Purdue, but there's a lot of IU stuff on Mike Epps' show.
The Colts, you know,
Coach Pacers.
The one of his episodes was set at a Pacers game.
At a Pacer game, yeah.
I also think that it also has to be somebody that is likable.
Yeah.
And that people want to get behind.
Which Mike Epps checks both of those from a comedic standpoint.
Like, to me, I would have a much easier time personally getting behind certain artists that blow up than others. And maybe
that's true.
Maybe it shouldn't be that way. But, you know, like, I think there is something to be said about, like,
the
quality of artists that gets put on. Because if Sexy Red is from Indianapolis and she is that person, it's like.
Well, Kitty Red's from Indianapolis and they're saying that they're very similar.
I've never heard of
her. I'm asleep on that. You got to put me on game on that. You got to put me on game.
You might have to just do your Googles on that one.
I'm going to do some Googles on that.
Yeah, okay. But either way, but I think that matters too. I think depending on who that person is, you know, like if it's somebody that is, if somebody blows up out of our city that is legitimately put in the work for years and they're ingrained in the culture, and I'm just going to throw this out there. This is no personal shot because I don't know him personally, but if it's somebody who gets big, but it's like Mark Battles. It's not going to have the same type of impact because the city doesn't embrace him.
Right.
City doesn't embrace
him. Well, it depends on what list you're looking at.
Yeah, but that's
don't get me started on that.
That's just a troll for the troll.
That's a troll for the troll.
But that's what it is. You know, like Mark Battles has done things here.
Yes,
right.
But
he never came up in that system.
That traction ain't the same.
And it's just when he comes back, sure, he has certain types of support, but he doesn't have the artist community behind him.
Right.
And so those two pieces are not connected, and I think that's integral.
I think they have to be connected, to your point, in
for
order
it to grow
for,
like that.
For it to work 100%, you know, 100%. Yep.
So, and that's, again, that's no shot at him. It's just that's how he did it. It worked for him. Good for him.
For sure.
He's not a bad artist. Mm-mm. Like, he doesn't make bad music, but he does not have that same type of support.
There's another kid moving up the ranks. I think he's from up north.
Midwest. Yeah, Midwest is literally the neighbor of one of my students.
Yeah.
Oh, for real?
But I've never seen him doing anything.
He played Lollapalooza this year.
That's crazy.
Oh, wow. Good for him.
Yeah.
That's dope.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, I mean, there's levels to it. You know what I mean? And again, it's... I don't know if you can like legitimately bring up a culture of a city from an artist like that.
Right, right.
I think that would be my argument. Like, they have to be ingrained. It has to be like, that's when we were talking about like Maxi. Maxi would be perfect because Maxi is so ingrained in so many different ways.
Right.
He represents Indianapolis.
Exactly.
So like, I feel like it has to be an artist like that that actually does this.
There's a handful of guys that I think, to your point, he being the one for sure, but he's the epitome of what you're describing.
Because then you get the people that are a part of the city behind it as well. It's not just like...
Right.
Spot. It's not, you know, I think it just makes it more valuable.
It makes it more authentic and it
makes people proud.
Somebody that's actually works with people in the city too.
Yeah.
But
there's a lot of artists that we personally know that they're fans of actual artists in this city and they work with actual artists in the city too.
Yep.
And then the people that, you know, like, you know, we talked about in the past how certain, this city is something where you have to be on before you get support, right?
Oh yeah.
But if the person that is on is already ingrained in the city and he's already working, or she is already working with a bunch of people within the city, it's more integrated.
I think that concept, it'll take care of itself. If, like you said, if that person is doing that, it'll take care of itself. It'll trickle down. You know, easier said than done. But I just thought about that coming off Trees because I saw so much talent. I ran into so much talent. These are people that I'm aware of.
Still last year, last week, we said, does talent matter? Talent doesn't.
No, it doesn't matter.
No, I agree. I'm with you. Yeah, exactly. I'm with you 100%.
Because unfortunately, like I said this, and this was kind of my walk-off moment at the end of the G-Note address. I said, these record companies are not interested in nurturing your talent. They are interested in nurturing your analytics.
Man, that's a bar right there.
You know what I'm saying? There's nobody who's just like, oh, I think this person's such a good singer, such a good rapper.
Doesn't matter.
That I'm going to sign them and we're going to go ahead and develop this talent. No, yeah. We're going to see who, oh, they got this many views.
Yep.
They got this many spins already. That's who we're going to rock with.
Yep.
You know, if you're upset every time you see somebody who say, well, I know somebody more talented than that, well, then you don't get it.
You don't.
Yeah. But at the same time, I don't think that's what you should aspire to.
And
I think that's the double. That's the double thing that people don't catch sometimes. Is like, even though that's the way it is, if you try that route,
I think there's something to be said, because there are talented people who are generating those analytics.
For sure.
And we should gravitate towards them and then foster that talent. We should, Sean made a point last week when he talked about, like, and basically he said we have personalities occupying spaces that should be occupied by actual artists.
Right.
Yeah. That's real.
Like, there are
people, content creators.
There are content creators who we say who make a song and then we think that person is an artist. No, that's a personality. And once we're tired of their personality, we will discard them.
That's right.
Because they make a record, but in real life, they sell jewelry or yeah. real estate or something like that. You know, like, that's a real thing,
they
though.
They got a candle company. I don't know. Like, that's what it is.
They do tarot cards on the side.
It's people that have records out that are real estate brokers. I'm like, and you smoking mirrors?
But you know, you could tell.
You can, but that's.
What?
It depends on if, like, I mean, there's a thin line in that one, because I mean, you can literally be part of the culture mm-hmm. and still doing both. But when you're just doing it because you're trying to be on a trend,
that part,
that's a difference.
That part,
you want people to look at you.
Yeah, that's a little
different. I'm gonna do a record for clout to bring attention to my business and my website. But I'm really not entrenched or anything that has to do with the culture.
Are you still going to do that record if nobody listens to it?
Right.
There we go. There we go.
You know what I mean?
That's the part.
Or does your art actually reflect anything about who you are? Or are you just playing a role of somebody that will fit into the narrative that you think will sell?
12 times out of 10, it is about a narrative. And it's about...
That's to a narrative.
Did I say narrative?
A narrative?
I didn't say narrative. Did I?
Maybe we heard it
wrong. Watch the playback.
Yeah, we'll
continue.
Check the tape. Yeah. Sorry. Coach Carlisle. Anyway. That's the narrative though, man. That's it. You know, we want the clicks. Algorithm. Jay Morris, the algorithm. That's what it's about at the end of the day.
Yeah.
That's it.
Just good conversation.
But you know, either way, shout out to all the talented artists that are out there,
and artists is,
well, yeah, I hear that every once in a while. Artists is,
but it's a combination. Like, so many moving parts have to happen at the same time.
Yes.
And it's not just supporting artists, it's also supporting the people that are supporting the artists.
Yes.
And it's got to be one big collective community that is doing this, in my opinion.
We need a lot of Lamonts here.
Sure. Oh man, that brother's shout out to him. We need more people like that. That brother's everywhere. It's that. It takes that type of support and that type of dedication.
But I think it does from fans. But
from a fan standpoint.
But I also think that from an artist, there needs to be more of a what I think there needs to be also within the cities. There needs to be a more symbiotic relationship between media outlets and the artist as well. And you know, I'm speaking on this specifically, knowing how this thing
specifically
works, and it's tough. But I feel like, and I'm not even like leaning one way or the other, I'm just saying like the relationship between those two entities has to improve and grow together.
Yeah.
For I think significant change to happen.
In this conversation, we could talk forever about this, because I saw the term gatekeeper being thrown around. Now, we've had this conversation. From the Ebro standpoint, from the whatever.
Is this the same conversation? I didn't know if we're in the same topic or you're pivoting.
I'm not pivoting, but it's I just saw it come up because you talked about relationships, media. You talked about that and how all of it goes together in order for it to be successful. Sometimes people look at media outlets as gatekeepers. Like those are people that can pull strings if you want.
To a degree.
If you will. To a degree, right? But I saw that brought up in conversation, or I had a conversation with someone about, man, this city, in terms of the gatekeepers, there's too many gatekeepers. There's too many people that have...
Nobody is on.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Can't nobody gatekeep here.
The conversation that we're having is nobody in the hip-hop community is on like that.
Thank you, man.
So who is doing the gatekeeping?
That's my question. Thank you.
I mean, there are certain levels of gatekeeping. I've done certain levels of gatekeeping. I mean, you could say that I have gatekept if I haven't taken the time to post somebody's music.
People are literally just
locked. These people are
locked out.
It's
just locked out. There's nobody at the gate.
That's what I mean. It's like we can push people, but at the same time, you know, like we're creating something too. And don't
come on, man.
I mean, are there people I won't book on Friday or Saturday night in my establishment? Yeah, sure. But it's just because they're not good enough.
Exactly. Yeah. And I think that's important.
Tasteful selection.
And someone will look at you and say, "Oh man, you hold down the culture didn't want
Friday
somebody.
And Saturday night is not the time for you to try stuff out."
And there's nothing wrong with that, Jay. There's nothing wrong with you being able to say, "I don't want this person on my Friday or Saturday
night."
Trust
me, don't ever take it personally. If I thought
it's not personal.
If I thought you could move the crowd and you was going to bring some people in, trust me, I'd have you in there like nobody's business.
Facts.
But, you know.
Yeah, that gatekeeping conversation is, especially here, in my personal opinion, is old and tired.
Yeah.
Because
No, I mean, but I'll defend the people that say gatekeepers, even though I don't agree with it, only for the simple fact that, like, when it comes down to when we would post music or we share music, yes, we're posting what we like.
Yes.
Don't get me wrong.
It's my personal taste, though.
Exactly. but people don't understand that. People don't understand that. You know, it's like it's not about personal taste. It's just about a certain level of a standard that you have to hit.
Standard is a good word.
And if we have no standards, then we end up like St. Louis, man. And we don't want to be like St. Louis.
Damn, okay. Why I got to be like that?
He got mad. He mad.
Y'all just, okay, yeah, Sexy Red's blowing up. But we got no standards. We've been giving you so much heat over the years.
Hey, yo.
All the way from Chuck Berry to
shouts to Mastermind and Black Spade and Tempo
to Miles Davis. We've been giving y'all heat for decades.
Jaymore, I'm just saying though, those are your roots, my brother. I'm gonna need you to come on home and just, you know, rock a couple of them records a little bit more. Just do what you got to do, man.
I ain't even gonna blame it on the city of St. Louis.
No, I was just kidding.
They can't hold that.
I ain't gonna blame it on them because the country is the one that has her in the chokehold.
I mean, like, she don't even shoot her videos in St. Louis. Yes.
Man, that's tough.
Yeah,
for those that don't
understand, that was a joke.
Yeah. It's definitely a joke.
So, shouts to St. Louis.
There'll be somebody that's gonna be emotional that missed it. Man. We used to it.
Shout out to Tef Poe. Shout out to Nato Cliff. Shout out to Black Spade.
We don't want nobody jumping off the arc.
Please.
The arch.
Hey, man, McDowell's and McDonald's.
Rockwell,
man.
Knuckles. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, everybody.
Yeah. Look at Jay Moore. He in the bag,
everybody,
man.
You know.
The DJ from Run the Jewels.
Shout out to everybody who used to rock at the High Point Cafe.
Straight
look
up.
Look at Jay Moore, a historian. All right, man. Let's.
Bong.
Like the bong. Let's. Let's talk LL, man. Great LL guy. Cool J. He's a great guy. I'd never met him, but perfect. Loner's potting over there.
Set it up perfect.
So LL was on stage one of the performances. You know that everybody has been celebrating the 50th year of hip hop. I'm gonna read this comment. Everybody's saying this is being pointed at Hov. We'll kind of dive into it and see what you guys think. And I also want to hear what you think just about the comment on his face value. Just let me shout it out to all you rappers trying to play Mystery Man. Stop effing up your legacy, he said, without saying any names. Get on this damn stage, man. So people thought that was a direct shot at him saying Hov has not popped out.
Absolutely not.
To any of these celebrations.
Absolutely
now,
not.
Here's where I'm going, Terry. I'm coming to you first.
Could be about Melly Mel.
Man, come on. Rah.
You know that.
It could be.
You know that because Melly Mel is performing. Don't do that.
I haven't seen J. Cole pop out.
Yeah.
Don't do
I
that.
I haven't seen Kendrick Lamar.
Here y'all go. I'm talk to you. So... Let me talk to Terry.
He's like, I'm going to deal with your ass.
Yeah, I'm going to talk to Terry first. Because they cutting up over there. Terry, you said, you sound like you don't agree.
I don't.
Now, here's my thing. Is he right? If anybody is justified to say this, because he also said in the comment, I mean, in the clip, he said, if I can be out here, I know you can be out here. He said that. Listen. Is he wrong in his sentiments? For the 50th anniversary
when we're talking about Jay-Z and messing up your legacy, there's no way you can put those two words or phrases in the same sentence.
So there's nothing that Hov can do to mess up his legacy. That's what you're
not
telling
me. Not when it comes to him getting on the stage.
All right.
No, that's just not possible. And we talked about this a couple weeks ago.
Yep.
With Hov's homage to the 50th anniversary.
Yes.
Is his display at the library
Book
in Brooklyn.
Book of Hov.
I mean, it literally has a baseline prop studio set up inside the library.
Man, I wanted to see that.
Come on, man. I don't know. I kind of get in my feelings a little bit when people take shots at Jay.
Yeah.
Because it's weird. It's like, what would make anybody fathom that he's talking about Jay-Z? Now let's talk about who he could possibly be talking about. He just said J. Cole, possibly. Mm-hmm.
Kendrick.
Drake is on tour right now, but they love Drake. I seen somebody who listed Drake as, I don't know if y'all seen that questionnaire that was going around. Where it lists your top artists, your favorite group, your favorite this, that, and the other for the 50th. Somebody put Drake on all of the
the
boxes,
know.
And people were agreeing.
People are weirdos.
I mean, people eat their hair. You know what I mean?
So, yeah. And boogers.
That's what you came up with.
I mean, I'm just saying, like.
But who else could he be talking about, though? That's what I want to figure out.
I feel like he is talking about Jay-Z. There are some deep-rooted things with LL and Jay-Z.
But for him to throw shots at Jay-Z?
I mean,
here's my thing though, man. Like, this
he felt some kind of way when Jay got to be president of Def Jam.
But I'm playing.
I've been here since before it was.
I'm playing devil's advocate, right?
Okay.
That's your hustle hand.
The reason I'm playing devil's advocate because sometimes we hear comments from people that are not qualified to say them.
Sometimes, huh?
Well, is it more than sometimes?
Our comment section.
Comment section. They definitely ain't qualified. That probably gets us 150 right
all
there.
All right.
Sorry. But anyway, back to what we're talking about. So if anybody is qualified, Jay Moore, to say this, based off everything that he's done, he set up this tour on top of who he is. I'm not mad at LL being saying, yo, and it's subliminal, but just pop out. Like, it's the 50th anniversary. You see what we're doing out here. You see the wave that we have going on. Fam, just pop out. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. Oh, see?
It could be about anybody, though.
It could be.
It could be, but you know what?
The internet's jumping out the window, putting it on hold. I'm just saying.
But he's also saying, like, if I can do it, kind of alluding to the fact that, is he alluding to the fact that he's older?
No, he's alluding to the fact that he's got it going. He's got that TV money. He's got Rock the Bells as an organization.
Okay.
He's got his money. He doesn't have to be out here on anybody's tour right now. I think that's where he's saying it. But you know, like I said, there's a lot of people you could be like, where are they? You know, where is, okay, maybe not.
That's what I'm saying,
you know,
bro.
But also, first of all, you know how people act when it comes to Jay-Z and anything.
I do.
If you're going to say Jay-Z, just go ahead and say
Jay-Z. Just say it. Tarnishing a legacy, though?
I mean, he was. You can't.
Okay, so
Jay-Z has been doing side missions pretty much since the Black Album. You know what I'm saying? Like,
so
his legacy is solidified.
I'm gonna concede the legacy talk to Terry's point. I'm gonna concede that because Hov is pretty much set. I'm leaning more towards the conversation about LL being big enough to say this. That's where I'm at. I don't have anything. I don't have a problem with it.
He's one of the.
He's not a pioneer.
He's not a founding member, but he's a pioneer of modern day hip hop. But for you, when you're talking about messing up a legacy, that's where I draw the line.
Okay.
It's one thing to call somebody out and say that you should be out here doing this too.
Right.
But messing up a legacy?
I mean, this man was hyperbole, right?
This man is married to Beyonce.
I still think it has
paintings worth millions of dollars that are pretty much in his will for his children to be good forever.
It's got nothing to do with hip hop, though.
It has a lot to do with hip hop because you know what it has to do with? Capitalism.
You know about capitalism.
Yeah. No, but I said it a few shows ago.
I still think he's talking about Melly Mel.
He's not talking about Melly Mel.
When we were talking about this, okay, yeah, say Jay-Z shows up. That means there's somebody else who maybe deserves. I'm not going to say that Jay-Z doesn't deserve to be there, but like, it's not like Jay-Z needs the attention or the adulation.
But what does that do for the concert, though?
What does that do for the concert?
If Jay pops out,
it takes attention from every other artist that's there.
It takes attention from LL. while everybody is jumping out the window. And I'm an LL Cool J fan. Don't get it twisted.
He clearly don't care though, bro. Like,
but this is Jay-Z, man.
I'm saying if Jay-Z, because you know what, if Jay-Z comes, it becomes a Jay-Z and Friends situation.
Yeah.
And I want it to be, to be celebrations of hip hop.
Yeah. Y'all might be right.
It's not even a Rock the Bell show anymore. Now it's a
Rock Nation.
Rock Nation. Now it's Rock Nation.
So say Jay-Z gets out there and he does 15 minutes. People are going to be like, oh, he didn't do this. He didn't do that. Or Jay-Z, he left us hanging. And then here comes Special Ed or somebody. And that's not to diss Special Ed because I love Special Ed. But
classic.
Are you going to do? Because, you know, if this is a show, where do you let Jay-Z close? You don't let him open.
Because people are going to start leaving.
Yeah.
So you guys are this is what you're telling me. So for these, the tour that LL obviously has with the Roots and everybody else in, you know, regional people popping out, if Hov does not close, you guys are telling me that people are going to walk out if Hov performs?
I'm not saying that, but
I don't know if I agree with that.
Who put on incredible shows.
One of my top five ever, Roots.
So I'm just saying, okay, how do you insert Jay-Z into one of these shows?
Maybe he starts rapping a verse from Special Ed and then Special Ed comes and finishes it.
No,
is that rumor true though? Say Jay-Z, it's in Atlanta, and you know they have JD pop out, and you know, and then they have do money Jay-Z anything. Does money and a thing.
That would be fire.
He has to do more than money and a thing, though.
Yeah,
Jay can't come out and only do money and a thing.
Now that's not gonna work.
That's impossible.
That's not gonna work. I agree with that. That's not gonna.
But is that rumor true that Jay and LL went to the same high school, and LL laughed at Jay-Z rapping?
I think
did
that.
Did y'all hear that before?
I've heard that.
Busta Rhymes was in high school with him too. I've heard all of that.
That's what I heard. I don't know.
The same high school, but weren't there all together?
Did they miss each other by, I don't know, senior freshman
LL
type?
LL is older than Jay.
Did he laugh at him rapping?
Probably. LL is one of them dudes who would just. I mean, it sounds like something young LL would do.
Dude was like 17 with a record deal though. So
he was 16.
Or 16. Excuse me, 16. So I mean, he might have laughed at Hov.
Hey, I don't know. I always wanted to know if that was true or not.
Look,
I mean, but when it comes to being the bigger rap artist,
yeah,
it's Jay-Z hands down.
I mean, I'm not about to argue with you on that. You're right. I'm just saying.
Still think it's Melly Mel.
I'm gonna get you a Melly Mel shirt.
Please get him a Melly Mel shirt.
You're
man.
Get him
Would
up.
You wear it long?
If only if it says "rah" in a circle.
Yeah, in a circle.
You're gonna get him a Melly Mel a weightlifting set.
Yeah,
please.
Fisher Price.
Is that patented yet?
I don't know.
Melly Mel weightlifting shirt. Did you just start something?
Get you one of them belts. It's got Melly Mel's face on it.
Yeah.
When you you're doing your squats and you and all your bicep curls.
Yeah.
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 Then somebody look.
It's got to be a tank top. Though.
Somebody needs to go and get Melly Mel one of these these endorsements for gym.
Now he will be a good spokesperson for that. That's facts. My boy be getting it in the gym though. Man. Be clear.
He wear G Unit tank tops.
We were doing so well. I'm just saying. We were doing so well.
So I mean, I'm just trying to think. Who else could he be calling out?
Cole Kendrick.
Kanye.
Kanye.
Lil Wayne a part
y'all
of any
see
of this?
Kanye is,
Lil Wayne?
Kanye is up to no good. Well, actually, he's up to some good. He been over there getting public fellatio.
No.
Lone's face.
I seen that. I was like, oh, no.
Was it by awesome. His wife, at least?
Yes, that's okay. Awesome, dude. All
right. He said it's awesome? Is that how you feel?
Yeah, that's pretty awesome.
You seem excited about that.
Praise God.
Yeah, that's pretty awesome.
I was like, wait a minute. I know that's not, sir.
What kind of sodomy is
sir,
this?
What are you doing? Put your pants on, sir.
On a boat,
barefoot.
You're like, they shouldn't have been snapping pictures.
Yeah. No, perhaps.
Well, hey, man, it's a good time, man.
I stay out of grown folks' business. Y'all know that's my motto. I stay out of grown folks' business. But yeah, I saw a couple of those photos floating around.
Never heard of it.
But yeah, he's not on tour either with LL.
They say new music is coming out.
From who?
From Kanye.
Kanye's.
Yeah, I'm good.
Are you guys excited?
Yeah, man, we'll see. Super, super excited.
I'm done getting excited about Kanye because, I just like to just wait now and see what it sounds like.
Did anybody notice that Drake didn't drop?
I don't think he was supposed to. That was just a rumor.
Okay, cool. Okay.
Okay. I never didn't know he was supposed to. So
I saw people say I saw something where fans were mad that a record did, his record didn't drop. Man. But
fans will be all right.
These fans, man. Have you ever seen the movie The Fan
with Wesley Snipes?
Yeah, Wesley Snipes and De Niro.
Robert De Niro. Yeah, yeah, that was actually a good little movie.
I thought you was going to say Robert Townsend.
Why would you say that? That's not who was in the movie.
Because he likes Robert Townsend.
Why would you not like Robert Townsend?
You see, he debates like Donald Trump.
Yeah.
I wish I could do his voice, but I can't. All right, man. Shout out to the chat. If you stuck around, we appreciate you as always. Is there anything else you gentlemen would like to say before we ride out?
Nope. I've said enough.
Yeah, we've really said enough.
All right, newoldheads.com for all the education that you need this year. Remember, if you see it, like it, subscribe to it, hit the bell for notifications. Check out our Patreon as well. We appreciate the support. Shout out to Treese. And we'll see y'all next week. Peace.
Yeah. Peace.